right, good singing. I don't care where you're from, that's just good all the way around. Take your Bible, if you will, tonight to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, you find the place, you're able to stand. We'll read a verse there. Verse number 17, verse number 18. All right, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 18, and we'll read 17 and 18. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried about with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, and through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We pray you'd help us to look unto thee, the author and the finisher of our faith. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder, save the lost, lift up the downhearted in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on the land of the free and the land of the freeloader. And we're living in both of them. In the day and hour that we're living in a world, you know, that somehow or another that is a pretty easy sell when it comes to anything contrary to the mind of God and the doctrine of God. You can tell them whatever they want to hear and they'll follow you anywhere. And let me say to you that, if you will, from the White House to the church house, there are those that are looking for something for nothing. In other words, worlds wanting to be able to have a living without labor. Did you ever notice that? That's the reason why you can hire somebody today and they want to be able to take off. Can I wait and start tomorrow? And by the way, could I draw a little bit on my first check, whenever that's going to be, and stuff like that, you know. We never get to go on vacation now that I got a promise of a job. In this lesson here, you'll find that not only that, but in the church, people are wanting life without the Lord. Why do you think there's so many of these house junkies and easy believe junkies that just tell somebody to bow your head and repeat a prayer? And, you know, you tell a 5-year-old that, and they'll bow and they'll repeat it and this and that, but they're no more saved than a bat. Now they're twofold more a child of hell than they were of themselves. In the lesson, you'll find that in the church is that we're wanting to get life without the Lord. I'll tell you the reason being is, they're looking for something that's easy to appeal to the flesh. And as a result of that, people want to come forward, and we live in a day and an hour. They don't want to be able to feel any guilt. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? Yeah, God pounds on their heart about being guilty. I'm not talking about anybody else on the pew. I'm talking about you, and God makes it personal. They're either going to get the grace of God in their heart, or they're going to run from it, one or the other. There's no guilt, there'll be no grace. Over there, remember in the book of Acts, whenever he talked about chapter 20, about verse number 21, and whenever he was preaching to them, and it was repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Until there's been repentance wrought in a person's heart, they're never going to have faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice, number one, that in the lesson that we're talking about in this chapter that we're dealing with tonight, is that salvation is a free thing. Let me tell you right now, as you'll find that it's free, but it isn't cheap. Jesus made it free. Baptists have made it cheap. And let me say to you that, if you will, it's not by silver and gold that you and I were redeemed, but by the precious blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that takes away the sin of the world. And let me say, the same way I got saved, same way you got saved, God come knocking and calling us into the family of God. Any other thing that you do is just simply following some other body else's lead, you know. In the day we live in, there's been many a person went down the aisle, went through the motions because they had been caught in something, but they weren't really sorry and didn't really have repentance. As a result of that, it's not long until, like the dog that returns back to the vomit or the sow that was washed into the wallowing of the mire, they're going back from whence they came. In the lesson that we're seeing tonight is that, notice in verse number 1, God warned about false prophets. He warned about false teachers in verse 1. And he said, who privately bring in damnable heresies. That's pretty strong, isn't it? And the Bible said that by their pernicious ways, you know what that is? That means sinister. That means insidious. It means having a far harmful effect. And they've got it in such a way to where it gradually comes upon a person to destroy them. And it comes in a subtle way. That's the way the devil works that. In the lesson here tonight, you'll find that not only are there false prophets, but the Bible said they speak evil of the way of truth. In verse number 3, the Bible says, is that of that same text there, and with feigned words, buddy, they come under the guise of Christianity. In our text verse that we've read tonight, great swelling words of vanity, that's what they come with. Do you realize, though, that what they're doing is that they've got a lure. And they allure by the lust of the flesh. In other words, whenever you begin to look into this, you'll find out is that they've got promises they're going to be given, but they're going to be empty promises. They're not going to be able to fulfill what they promise. You ever notice every time there's an election, you know, all those politicians on both sides of the fence, they promise more than they can be. Listen, they'll promise you a trip to the moon knowing they don't have a rocket to be able to drive there. They'll promise you anything. They're empty. And let me say to you, that's the reason why we're in a mess we're in the day and hour that we're living in. This Bible said that not only are they preaching damnable heresies, but there's a damnation that slumbereth not. Now, we may have forgotten about it, but God's not forgotten about it. In this lesson that you're looking at, I remember the other night, and I don't want to dwell on this too much, but I remember the other night I listened to a little bit of the State of the Union. I long enough to see Nancy Pelosi jump up, and she nearly fell, and it would have been a better State of the Union if she had. But she'd jump up, and clap, you know. And all that business there, and the camel didn't know what Nancy was clapping, so she just joined in with her. And all of that right there. But I listened to him and the president while he had a low approval of the United States, very low, lower than any president's ever been that we know of. And while he was there, do you realize that the next day that they reported that his approval rating went up by 7%. After the State of the Union. I want to know who in the name of God are these idiot people? These are brainless people, friend. I mean, you're dealing with somebody like that right there and talking to people like that right there. Where do they come from? Where do they come from? I tell you why, the devil. Look at our country and the chaos that it is. Look at the inflation. Look at the danger. We're the laughing stock of the world, and all of our enemies are looking down their noses while the president's busy trying to get Venezuela, Iran, and Saudi Arabia, and they don't even return his call, they say. And I'm talking about Iran, the arch enemy of Israel. They'd like to blow them off the map, somebody that's a nuclear power. That's the kind of damnation and damnable leadership that we've got in this country. Now, I want to say to you that whenever you look into this Bible here, that a politician, if you listen to them, they may send you to the poorhouse. But if you don't listen to Christ, you're going to hell. That's the truth. I mean, you may not listen to one of them, go ahead, and that's neither good and bad, and this and that. Probably you're better off if you don't. In fact is, my wife wants me to get up and go do something besides listen to one of those devils that are there. In these cold days that are like that right there, I was sitting there looking, and I don't know how long it takes, but I was looking at something, a little old news thing that come and said, if you sit as long as 11 hours a day, you'll be dead in 3 years. That's the reason I'm trying to work some of this in. I've already got 2 or 3 days on. I've already got my time in. I mean, if it wasn't for getting up and having to go to the bathroom, and didn't give me something else to drink and another snack. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that when people don't believe a politician, that's fine. And if you do believe in them, that's probably worse. But they may send you to the poorhouse, but if you don't believe in Christ and the doctrine of Christ, he'll send you to hell when you leave this world that you're living in. Now, I want you to notice that, if you will, that one of the major signs of the last days is in this lesson. It's not going to be anything new to you, but it's something that you need to be sure that you pay attention to, and that you at least make some mental notes, if you don't make some notes in the margin of your Bible. But one of the major signs of the last days is given in this chapter that's here. In verse number 5, and he spared not the old world, but he saved Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness. And he says, and he bringing in the flood of the world upon the ungodly. All right, number 6 now, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. See, God believes in cremation. If you're a devil, that's where you ought to be done. You ought to be cremated, turned to ashes. That's what God does with them. And condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample to those that should should live ungodly. Now, I want you to watch that. The LGBTQ, which means lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer movement. That's what that is. And now they're in the White House. They're in government offices. They're in the doctor's office. They're in the places where you're shopping. They've got laws made in their behalf. And let me tell you, they're lawyers and doctors and judges and so forth, and on and on and on, too many to count. And God said, it's a world of ungodliness is what that is. Now, the reason why God brings this up, and no doubt does that, I want you to look in verse number 5, what he says about him. In verse 5, he spared not the old world, but he saved Noah, the eighth person, and preacher of right, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. All right, number verse 6 now, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example, showing those that should after live ungodly. That's what he calls them. Somebody said, well, I don't feel that way about it. Well, then you and God don't feel the same way about it. I'm only showing you what God said so you and I can feel the same way. I know some queers that I know some queers that don't even know they're yet queer. You see a grown man walking around prissy. I frequently tell these boys here, hey boy, you talk, quit that, quit acting like that. Put that dial down. You want people to think you're a queer? See what I'm talking about? Train up a child in a way he should go. I'm going to tell you right now, used to you didn't have to worry too much about these girls, but now you got to worry about some girl wanting to teach you as a girl how to be able to kiss and see if you can kiss as good as her boyfriend does. Now that's quiet, isn't it? That's everywhere. I mean, used to, they had people in some kind of innocence. I mean, I had some kin folks, I guarantee, and some cousins that I promise you right now could teach you how to French kiss in a heartbeat. They never do me, but I guarantee you, I watched some of them growing up. I watched some of them. See, I had to clarify that because, boy, y'all could just see one of them running their tongue down my throat. See what I'm talking about? Some of those men, some of those cousins you got, that are prissing around, you got to watch them. They got to want to hug around on you too much when ain't nobody looking and all of that business right there. You just got to watch yourself. We live in a world that is satanic and that is sexually satanic. And God said that when the Lord comes again, it's going to be, look in verse 7. He delivered just Lot, vexed that look, filthy conversation. Talk about a lifestyle that's filthy. That's what God calls it. Look in verse 8. For that the righteous man dwelling among them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Look at that. He calls it that. Verse 12, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken, destroyed. They speak evil of things that they have understand not, and they shall utterly perish in, notice what he calls it, in their own corruption. That's what he's calling it. Now, when they speak great swelling words, these are people that are going to be nice to you. These are people going to try to help you. These are people going to try to accommodate you. These are people that are going to try to rob you of your children. See that? Now I want you to look in verse number 22. In verse number 22, the Bible said, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. That lifestyle, I mean, how'd you like to just go back, just be able to look at a pile of vomit? And you don't want to. That's what God, when he sees that crowd, he says they're in their own vomit. And as a sow that was washed to the wallowing in the mire. All right, now do not lose your text. But I want you to flip over there, and I want to show you a passage, if you will, in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs, in chapter 26 and verse 11. In Proverbs 26 and verse 11. When you look in the passage that's there, here's what he says. As a dog returns to his vomit, so the fool returneth to his folly. They've gone back into the sin they've always been involved in. Now, I want you to know who that dog is. And I want you to know who it is that fool is. Look in your Bible over there in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 23. In Deuteronomy chapter number 23, if I can find it here in this new Bible here. But notice as we look, Deuteronomy 23 verse 17. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite. That's in people we've been talking about in 2 Peter in the last days. People that live an ungodly life. People that have filthy conversation in their life. Doing unlawful deeds in their life, returning to their own corruption and vomit in their life. That's a sodomite. That's a queer, that if you please. That's the fag that we talk about. Verse 18. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog. Now he's changed sodomite to dog. Now, next time that you're thinking, he said, they're not to be brought into the house of the Lord thy God. For any vow, even both of these, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. And flip back over there in your text. Now, here's what you may be thinking. Well, you may be thinking, I know some people that are involved in that, but they're pretty nice, they're pretty kind, they're pretty courteous. And I never did think that much wrong with them. Well, let me tell you how God thinks about it. That's a dog you're looking at. See how God's a little more harsh than we are. And it's not a cute puppy in the sight of God. See that? That's the reason why over there, whenever he said they're going to come speaking great swelling words, they've got men's persons in admiration. And as a result of that, they're doing what they possibly can to be religious. But as a dog, and the proverb wrote about him, as a dog has returned to his own vomit. That's a queer in that passage. That's a sodomite in that passage. If you want to know what that says, you ain't got to know a lot of Hebrew or Greek or have any kind of lexicon to look it up and make it a. You can read third grade English. You can flip over there, and God gives his own interpretation of what that sodomite is. It's a dog. That ain't hate speech. That's what God says in divine speech from the blessed word of the Lord. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find here tonight is that we live in the land of the free and the land of the freeloader. Most of the time they say, you know, why don't we just learn to love one another? Well, you can't love what God hates, and you can't hate what God loves. You got to be careful about that. You get to the place where that you are going ahead and giving permission that God won't give, you're going to be in trouble with the Lord. That doesn't mean that you ought not to be kind. It doesn't mean you ought not to be courteous. It doesn't mean that you ought not to be respectable to human beings as humans. But you better not forget what God said about the matter, or you'll be letting your guard down. See? And the first thing you know is it'll be on top of you in your house. See? All that business there when these girls were growing up, you know, and I'm sure they done enough to be able to get by themselves, and Sam, no doubt too, and just like all of you have done, and so forth and on. But I got to tell you better not leave them to themselves very long at a time. There used to be a commercial back years ago that said, it's 10 o'clock, where are your children? Do y'all remember that? I was back whenever cousins were teaching people how to kiss in their own family and stuff like that right there. I used to hear some of them older, some of them gals, you know, and some of them are already dead and gone. Some of them are dead and in hell if they died like they lived. But I remember them saying, well, I just don't feel like I'm a good kisser. Well, you're not doing it right then, she would say, and so forth and on. Now, we're talking about gals that I'm talking about that were married and had kids and so forth and on later on. But while they were just little old toe-headed, knot-headed, stupid young ladies, not knowing the danger they could be involved in. They were teaching each other. I couldn't hardly wait till I got to be a teenager, but by the time I got then, I knew better. I thought, hey, man, I'm going to get one of my cousins to teach me how to kiss a little bit. But I just had to, you know, had to go in front of the mirror and practice kissing myself. Have y'all ever done that? Now, come on now. You just did once, only once? Oh, I did. I can tell you right now, let me just tell you how this thing works so you'll know it. My wife and I, once we got married, we had so much fun and trying to perfect it. You know how sometimes whenever you can be honest once you're married. Hey, you know, you're kissing and to be like this here, I'm going to give you, you know, this, the Bible's her, by the way. Now, I'm going to be her and this is going to be the, and like it, oh man, you're going to have to go put some mouthwash or something. Y'all have never done that? You're lying. If you hadn't done, if you say you had not, you wanted to. And some, you know, and I've had some men say, yeah, my old lady, you know, they weren't respectful of their wife. My old lady, yeah, I was trying to be frisky with her, and she told me my breath stunk. I said, well, forget it. And I said, well, you was not wanting sugar bad enough then. It never has deterred me. Ask her. Not now. Never has deterred me. I said, hold that thought there, hon. I'll be back in a minute. My heart was racing and pounding, and so it one night, and I jumped up and I had something in my eye, and I reached in there and grabbed menthol and Afrin and squirted it in, thinking it was Visine. And I didn't stop me. I ain't stopping me. I just want to say to you that, if you will, that God's been good, and God puts together a man and a woman, the right time, the right place, and all of that. And I do, and she did, and so forth and on. And I'm not going to let a nasty breath that I may be tearing around hurt me very long. I'm going to go gargle a little bit, hold that thought. And, you know, now you're not going to have time to run in there and brush your teeth, comb your hair, and put on a lot of smell well and all that. Because when you get back, I guarantee you right now, if it's like you had to leave and go to Walmart, you're going to hear this. I said all that to be able to say this. It's good to be saved. Amen. And we live in the land of the free and the land of the freeloader. But you'd better have some heaven to be able to go to heaven in among your household. Amen. Don't get so bogged down with everybody else's problems to where you can't take care of your own business at home. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, I want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. We want to say thank you now for all you've done.